Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and welcome to my show, Natural Medicine. I've been a Doctor of Oriental Medicine for about 10 years, and for about the past 4 years, I've been teaching anatomy and physiology at various professional schools around Santa Fe and Albuquerque. The call-in number, and we love call-in questions, is 424-4550, and that's area code 505. Please call in. Today, we're talking about vaccine injury cases, of a specific vaccine injury case. And vaccine injury cases are very peculiar in that everybody agrees that they do happen. The federal government, for instance, has a fund that has paid out billions of dollars in claims. And each one of those acknowledges that a vaccine injury has happened. But the tendency in conventional medicine is to play down vaccine injury, to contend that, that particular illness is not caused by the vaccine, which then makes it hard for that same practitioner to turn around and say to the patient, I'm going to treat you for the vaccine injury that I claimed didn't really happen. And also, vaccine injury presents a very difficult diagnostic leap of faith, almost, because you can never 100%, with 100% certainty, diagnose a vaccine injury. It presents us with, the idea that, vaccine injury, when it does happen, when we finally acknowledge that it did, that it was caused by vaccine, we tend to get this picture of lifelong injury, a sad circumstance. Rather than the idea that, okay, here's a vaccine injury that we then can turn around and treat and bring this person back to normal. And so that's our background with, going into this. And the first person, we want to introduce all the people involved in the show. I have four people in the studio right now, one more waiting outside. And I want to introduce them. And I'll start with Stacy.
My name is Stacy, and I am the one that's getting treated by Rick, Robert, and Mahaba.
Okay. Mahaba, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, my name is Mahaba Kaufman, and formerly I was an acupuncturist. But now, for the last 11 years, I've been a quantum biofeedback specialist, and I work with the Indigo quantum biofeedback machine.
Okay, Robert?
My name is Robert Campbell. I'm a licensed doctor of oriental medicine here in the state of New Mexico. I've been practicing for 12 years, and we treat lots of different ailments and diseases and so forth, utilizing nutrition, herbs, diet, and lifestyle changes.
Rick?
Hi, my name is Rick Bastine. I'm a certified hypnotherapist as well as an NLP, neuro-linguistic programming practitioner. Also work with sound healing and other energy modalities.
Now, at this point, what we'd like to do is put Stacy back on the microphone, and she can tell us how this all started. Stacy?
A few years back, I started with a vaccine, and shortly after, I...
And what kind of vaccine was that?
A Gardasil shot.
Okay.
And I started with abdominal migraines between the first and second vaccine, and... The second one I got about October.
Mm-hmm. And the first one, was it about?
In about April.
April, okay.
And around October, I started having hyperacute hearing. I had severe headaches around that time, too, which led to my spine hurting. And it caused me to eat. Laying down, my mom had to sponge bathe me. Every time I would get up to use the bathroom, I would throw up because the headaches were so bad. Then about March is when I started going to see Mahaba for some treatments to hopefully help me out.
Now, before going back, when you first, when you got the, the April, and this was April of what year?
2010, 2011.
Okay. And at that point, were you working?
Yes, I was working at the time, and when I was working, there was times that I would be bending down to put something down, and I would start feeling really dizzy, like I was going to collapse from...
And that's this is after the first vaccine?
Yes.
Okay. And then things got worse after the second vaccine.
Yes.
Which was later that year.
Yes.
And were you doing anything athletic at that time?
No, I okay. would just work and...
Okay.
Then.
But you have a history of doing athletic things in your educational efforts,
right? Yeah. In elementary, I used to be... playing basketball.
Uh-huh. But even when you were more recently, when you were going to a junior college, you were doing some athletic things.
Yes, in
college.
So
we just want to make sure that that people understand that you were a fully functional human being.
Yes.
And then suddenly, you weren't. And and over a period of 6 months, your health took a huge nosedive. Would you characterize that? And when did you quit? When did you stop working? Approximately.
About February.
Okay. Okay. And you stopped working because you just decided I can't do this? Or actually, I think I remember that it was somebody at work that sort of tapped you on the shoulder and said...
I was at work one day and I felt really sick where I couldn't drive myself, so I had to call my mom to come and get me. And she took me into a hospital to get checked, and one of the doctors had recommended me to not work due to my dizziness, that it wouldn't.
And the dizziness, it wasn't just dizziness. Did it, was there another category like seizures?
I had seizures, yes.
How often?
Quite often.
Like once a day?
More.
Like how many times a day?
I'm guessing about 10 to 15 times.
Uh-huh. And during these seizures, were you incapacitated?
I was...
I mean, if you had to, during a seizure, if you had to get up and get something to eat or visit the bathroom...
I was not.
It was not possible.
No.
These were serious, serious seizures.
Yes.
Okay. And so by March, when you first went to see Mahaba, you'd gone from a fully functional human being with athletic capabilities... to a person that could barely conduct their own life.
Yes, I was unable to walk and barely even able to talk. There was times I wasn't even able to talk.
Okay. Okay, Stacy, what we're going to do is we're going to go to a break, and in a couple minutes, we'll come back, and we'll hear from Mahaba Kaufman, who was the first person to bring you in and treat you. Welcome back. This is Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine. Welcome back to my radio show, Natural Medicine. We're here talking about vaccine injury. On the first segment, we had Stacy describing the details of her vaccine injury. And now we're going to go to Mahaba Kaufman. Mahaba, tell us about how you first ran into Stacy and the first, how you first started treating her.
Sure, Dan. Well, first I need to say that although I work with an FDA-registered device, I'm not permitted to speak freely by the FDA about what it does. I do not diagnose and I do not treat disease. So that being said, Stacy was referred to me by another client. And when she first came to me, she could barely speak. It was very hard for me to understand her and could barely walk. She was really ready for a wheelchair. So what I did, what my device does, is it detects where stress is in the body. And obviously her body was extremely stressed by something. And what I found out in that initial session was that the stress was being caused by severe inflammation in her brain and spinal cord. I asked her at that point whether she'd had vaccinations, because that was for, she was a healthy young woman before this happened. She was only 28 years old, and something had suddenly happened to cause this. And she was also having multiple seizures and had been in the emergency room multiple times, had had multiple MRIs, and nobody seemed to know what was wrong with her.
So is now this inflammation of the brain and spinal cord, that, you know, for that probably translates to encephalitis in conventional medical terms. Is that something you wouldn't pick up on an MRI?
I really do not. I think they did know that there was inflammation, but they didn't know how to treat it. They were giving her multiple drugs, the most intense painkillers because of the level of headache. When I asked her on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your headache like? She said 100, and that had been going on for a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks sporadically, or a couple of weeks solid?
Solid,
the whole time.
Solid.
Sleeping, waking.
Yes.
Eating, everything.
Yes.
And now, you mentioned MRI. It's my understanding that she didn't just get one MRI.
Actually, it was MRI and CAT scans. And she had multiple ones. Her mother can't even remember exactly how many, but it was in the neighborhood of 30.
That's a phenomenal amount of radiation to be medical radiation to be exposed to, and you know, in the case of an MRI, which is much more benign on the surface of it, it's usually coupled with an imaging element called gadolinium, which is very hard on the kidneys. So you know, in some senses, it's sort of surprising she even survived that initial kind of treatment.
She was, I would say, if there hadn't been the sort of intervention that we did, she probably wouldn't be with us today, and she and her mother both agree on that one.
Okay, so it's not just your opinion. Your opinion is confirmed by Stacy's mother.
Yes.
Okay. And so you were the person that she initially, that Stacy initially saw, and how long did this go on where you were the only person that was seeing Stacy?
I worked with her once a week for 2 to 3 months, and there were phenomenal changes in her. By the end of 2 months, the seizures had stopped, and she was speaking much better and walking much better. I would say there was a 70 to 80% improvement. And at that point, I suggested she see Dr. Campbell to work with her diet and more and herbs and add to the work we were doing.
Okay. And just to confirm, when a person's that sick, that debilitated, let's say, when you say they're 70% improved, they still have significant problems.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
But she was able to walk and she was able to talk.
Right.
And the seizures had stopped.
Now, and one more point, Mahaba, is that the idea of that vaccines were involved in this came not only from observation, but also was in a major way suggested by your biofeedback machine. Is that correct?
Yes, it was, because it measures things that cause stress in the body, and one of those things can be vaccinations, mm-hmm. heavy metals.
Okay.
Both of which showed up.
Now, at this point, we might want to shift to Robert Campbell, who, you know, Mahaba mentioned that she referred then to you, Robert, and why don't you describe how Stacy was at that point and how you treated her and what happened with your treatment.
When Stacy first came in for treatment with me, she had difficulty speaking and had a lot of slurring with the speech. She also had difficulty walking, and she had pain, a lot of pain, up and down her spine, her back, her neck, and also in her head as well, but not as severe at the time. And she also had, and she still does, although much less, hypersensitive hearing. Very hypersensitive. You could say, if I, you know, kind of like a like a cat or a dog, I could hear sounds, and it's very painful to her with that hypersensitiveness with her hearing. So we had done a food chart, vitamin and mineral chart, probiotic chart, and
Robert, you might want to tell people what a food chart is.
Okay, so a food chart, what I do is, some people call it kinesiology, some people call it muscle testing, some other people applied physiology. What I do is, every person has a unique signature, an energy signature, just like every substance in the universe has a unique signature. And with what I do when I take the pulse, look at the tongue, check points and so forth, I'm able to pick up on that signature. And whatever that signature shows, I'm able to apply that information when I actually check particular substances for a particular patient, foods, nutrients, vitamins, minerals, etc. And with a unique scale, I know exactly where that particular substance is and how it relates to that particular individual or patient. Food-wise, it showed that she needed to do a lot of protein and vegetables, especially leafy greens, minimize the sugars, the sweets, fruits in her diet. And that was basically it food-wise. And vitamin-wise, mineral-wise, she was pretty, wasn't too bad vitamins. Mineral-wise, she needed a trace mineral supplement, of which I had prescribed to her. Probiotics wasn't too bad, so we didn't focus on that at the time. And I also worked with homeopathic remedies, and some of the things that had come up, as Mahaba had mentioned, metals, also synthetic chemicals, which had been related to pharmaceutical toxins, or in this case, a vaccine toxin.
Now, just Mahaba, during the time before Stacy came in to see you, it's my understanding that in going to the emergency room a lot of times, that she'd been prescribed a lot of drugs, a lot of different drugs.
Yes, her mother told me that the drugs she was taking filled up a whole shopping bag.
Okay.
And actually, when she came to me, the last neurosurgeon that she'd seen had taken her off all the drugs. So mm-hmm. when she did come to me, that she wasn't on anything anymore.
Okay.
than she had been.
But it makes sense, Robert, that there was a lot of chemical residues in her body because she'd been taking over the past 6 to 8 months a large quantity of pharmaceutical drugs.
That's correct. Yeah, so with pharmaceutical drugs, they actually affected quite a bit. From a Chinese medical point of view, her qi, her blood, her yin and yang. So qi would be roughly analogous to energy. Yin would be body fluids, blood, not just including the, like if someone's anemic, but also if they're lacking in nutrients.
Okay, now at this point, Robert, we're going to break. We're going to come back in a few minutes. I want to give you the call-in number again, 505-424-4550. If you want to call in about vaccine injuries, give us a call at that number. And we'll be back in a few minutes. Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and welcome back to my radio show, Natural Medicine, where we're talking about vaccine injury. And we'll pick up again with Robert Campbell describing his treatment of Stacy.
From a Chinese medical perspective, I would have diagnosed her as toxic heat damaging her qi, blood, yin yang, and essence. Essence, from a Chinese medical point of view, is connected to the bone marrow, the kidney energy, and also controls the brain. And that also ties into your nervous system as well. And this, from the Chinese medicine point of view, would actually explain a lot of Stacy's symptoms of what she was experiencing with the inflammation in the brain. And you had mentioned, Dan, that from a Western point of view, that would correspond to encephalitis. And so with the inflammation, as Mahaba had mentioned, indicated on her biofeedback system, we had many confirmations with this. You had asked me to discuss more about how the food chart works. Again, the food chart is 5 pages long. We start out with grains.
And just to give a general idea, Robert, is the intent of the food chart is to describe all the foods that a person is likely to decide to eat or not eat. And so that's the reason why it's 5 pages long. We want to cover just about everything, just about every category of food that you would run into at any kind of grocery store, and to rate it in terms of excellent to, you know, excellent to avoid. And I just wanted to get the idea across that this was a pretty all-encompassing way of evaluating different foods.
That is correct, Dan. And so again, with Stacy, it came up predominantly the fresh meats, lean meats were excellent, as well as vegetables from the leafy green category, which includes collard greens, spinach, cabbage, and lettuce, romaine lettuce, red cells lettuce, and so forth from the leafy green category. And collard greens, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, in particular, those leafy greens have a lot of sulfur, which actually assists the body in detoxification for any type of toxin in the system. And in addition to that, the vitamins, as far as the vitamin chart, you had asked me to discuss more about that. So the vitamin chart, we do the same thing, excellent to avoid, whether or not a particular patient would need a particular nutrient or if they're lacking in that. Mineral-wise, selenium came up quite high, which is specific for detoxification as well in Stacy's case.
And Robert, I know you're sort of in some ways famous for herb formulas. Did that play a part in the treatment of Stacy?
Oh, yes. We had given her, one of the formulas I'd given her that I personally produce is Berplerum Dandelion Liver Cleanser. And so this formula is specific to detoxify the liver, but at the same time nourish the liver blood to assist the liver in detoxifying. Many people fail to realize that when they do a detoxification protocol for the liver, the liver's function in order to be able to detoxify depends on the blood supply and the nutrients that are in the blood that circulate through the liver, for which if there are lacking, the liver cannot produce bile, as much as the type of bile that it needs to be produced, and that's how the body, or the liver rather, gets rid of the toxins. So the liver produces the bile, goes into the gallbladder. Anything that the liver has already broken down goes into that bile, and that bile goes into the gallbladder. When someone eats some food that has some fat in it, that causes the gallbladder to contract. That releases the bile. If they're eating leafy green vegetables and other foods which contain fiber, that fiber and those leafy greens will absorb the bile with those toxins, and the body can detoxify naturally through the bowel movements.
Okay, and I know that other, you know, of course, you're an acupuncturist, okay, or, you know, which means doctor of oriental medicine in New Mexico, and you also frequently use homeopathic remedies.
Yes.
Did you use those also in the treatment of Stacy?
Yes. As I mentioned earlier, Dan, one of the ones that came up is a particular homeopathic remedy. The name of it is synthetic chemicals.
Okay.
And so that was one of the homeopathic remedies that had been given to Stacy specifically to detoxify from a homeopathic perspective the synthetic chemicals that she had been exposed through, and not just through pharmaceuticals and so forth or vaccinations, but it could be from eating food that's not organic, eating food that wasn't right for her. Her body couldn't process it properly. That forms toxins, the byproducts, and so forth.
So, Robert, what was the progress of Stacy during the time that you still are treating Stacy? So, but in the initial four, five, 6 months, what did you observe as the progress?
She started losing weight. More so at a faster pace, and a lot of times when someone has a lot of toxins in their body, those toxins are stored into the fat cells, and so by getting rid of the fat, which has a lot of times the toxins stored into it, she started detoxifying more so, and now at this point in time, she's down to 145 from 209 previously. Which is a significant improvement as far mm-hmm. as how she is. A lot of times when she comes in, everyone looks at her like, you're skinny, or you're like disappearing. You're going to be blown away in the wind or what happened.
But just to be sure, they're exaggerating.
That's right.
Right. She doesn't look like she's going to blow away in the wind.
That's correct. No.
She just looks like she has...
She's healthier.
Yes, yes. And in other respects, did you see other improvements?
Yes, her speech had improved. Her hearing sensitivity has diminished, so she doesn't have quite as hyper-acute hearing or sensitivity to hearing as before when I first saw her. And also, I wanted to interject that she also, when she had come in with the difficulty walking, she also was experiencing seizures and, mm-hmm. Again, affecting the central nervous system. And that's diminished, and she doesn't have any seizures anymore.
Okay. All right. And just to be sure, with all the three of you, this is an ongoing treatment, right?
That's correct.
That
integrative treatment.
Right. Okay. So there's still a few things that we're still working on. Now, at this point, maybe we want to transfer to Rick Bastien. Rick, tell us about at what point you started treating Stacy and what you were doing and what you see as the benefits.
Well, I on the request of Dr. Campbell, I started seeing Stacy for the acuteness in her hearing, the sensitivity. And what I first noticed was basically stress, a great deal of stress. And I just felt that her system was toxic. And I work with hypnotherapy and NLP as well as energy work on a basis of detoxifying on a psycho-emotional level. And so it made sense to me to help bring her autonomic nervous system more into a homeostatic state.
So, Rick, so some people say, oh, a toxin, that's a chemical that's not supposed to be there. But that's not just the full definition of toxin. Could include
thoughts.
Right.
Toxic thoughts have an effect on actions, patterns, belief
emotions,
systems, emotions.
Yes.
And emotions release hormones in the body through the
so
glands.
So if you can get those ideas, those patterns, those thoughts, those emotions sort of directed in a better way.
In a much better way, more
positive
way.
That not only makes the person feel better, but it can even go back and help get rid of some of those traditional toxins.
Sure,
in a quicker, more efficient way.
Well, in a way with more ease.
Uh-huh.
And also, it's actually allowing the person to be a part of the healing process, to be involved in their own process, rather than being a willing kind of a victim of the disease or of the treatment.
I'm glad you brought that up, Rick, because I think that's really, really important. And I think it also plays the part in how Robert Mahaba would treat them. But I'm glad that you put the words to it.
Yeah, it's just a more holistic approach. We really look at the Integrative Holistic Healing Center. We really look at treating the entire person. You know, really mm-hmm. looking at them not just from a physical point of view or a symptomatic point of view, but the whole being, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. I mean, it's really allowing them to connect and really get in touch with all aspects of themselves so that they can use that information and those resources in their own healing process.
Now, Rick, when you were... Not just with Stacy, but generally, I'm told that you use some special equipment.
Yeah, it's definitely an alternative approach to healing. I look at light, color, sound, and vibration. So I use the crystal healing bowls in my practice because they create musical notes, but also frequencies and vibrations that have an effect on the human body and
you'd
help
say, well,
to
well,
accelerate
course.
Healing.
Okay, so, but from the perspective of a sound healer, okay, mm-hmm. there, you know, any, you could say, anybody would agree, oh, yeah, that note has an effect on me because I hear it. Mm-hmm. But you would argue that it has an effect on people much deeper than that.
Yeah, at a much deeper level on a metabolic level, even.
That certain notes affect certain organs, certain functions.
Certain functions in the body.
Because there's specific frequencies.
Frequencies that affect certain glands, mm-hmm. allowing them to release certain hormones. It's physiology.
Now, what we're going to do right now is we're going to go to another break. We'll come back, and Rick will finish up his description of his treatment. And the call-in number, in case you want to give us a call, is 505-424-4550. And we love those call-ins. See you in a few minutes. Welcome back to my show. This is Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine. We're back with Natural Medicine, and we're talking about vaccine injury. And we're going to pick up again with Rick Bastien talking about his treatment of Stacy.
Thanks, Dan. You know, one of the first things that I felt was necessary when I saw Stacy was to do what I could to help her to relax more, to just allow her body to be calm. She seemed to be very stressed. She had a lot of stress, and as we uncovered moving forward, just realized she had a lot of thoughts that she had no way of really processing, and some fear. And so, just getting her to relax, utilize some hypnotherapy, processes of just deep relaxation and breathing, you know, the physiology of breathing, helping the body to come more to a state of calm. And it seemed to help. She responded to that pretty quickly. And then, you know, the approach was to look at the acuteness of her hearing. And I wanted to approach that using sound, which mm-hmm. might sound seem like it would be counterproductive or something if you're so sensitive. And then to actually use sound to desensitize the hearing. But it seemed to work, and using the crystal bowls and just getting her in a deep meditative space, and then using the crystal bowls, we were able to diminish the effect of more acute sounds on her hearing. And it just seems to keep improving, mm-hmm. which is a real plus.
And so in her continuing treatment, have you taken on any different, you know, targets, or do you just continue to work on the hearing, the relaxation, et cetera?
Well, it's her voice. It's her confidence, level mm-hmm. of confidence that's improved. She was quite shy, and now she's becoming more willing to speak and to share her thoughts on things. And mm-hmm. she feels that that's really helping her a lot. Mm-hmm. Knowing, having the confidence to know that she's getting better and she's going to get better.
Yeah.
And being able to speak to that.
And now, you know, I'll open it up to the other practitioners. You know, in the beginning, she was working. Okay. And she was a functioning human being. She, you know, she's in her 20s. She can, you know, take care of herself. But that sort of fell off. That fell away during this illness to the point where she had to have a caretaker, I understand, one of her family members. Now, how much has she progressed back to the point of being a fully functional human being again?
Well, I understood that she hadn't driven for 2 years because of her experience with all of this. And she has been driving again by herself.
Okay.
Which is huge.
Yeah, that means then she doesn't have to have a family member to take her around.
Exactly. She wasn't cooking her own meals, doing her own laundry. Really, seriously, she was being cared for. Mm-hmm. For the most part, and I think Mahaba and Robert would be able to add some more to that.
Yeah, I wanted to just say something about the hyperacute hearing, which I think is something probably unique to this kind of injury. She told me that her doctor said her hearing was more acute than a dog's. So I just want to mm-hmm. give an idea of what kind of effect that had on her family, too. To listen, to hear laundry going was unbearable to her. Her mother cooking a pot on the stove, that noise was unbearable to her. So her family basically had to do their cooking outside in a camper. They couldn't clean the house or do the laundry, except at very specific times when Stacy had to be out of the house. I just wanted to make that clear mm-hmm. how intense this was in the beginning.
And that's intense with the fact added to that she was wearing sound dampeners in her ears with headphones to minimize the sound, and it was still that acute.
That's right, yeah. Rick.
But at this point, is she no longer wearing the dampeners?
Well, she's gone from the most dampening ones down to like ones that are almost like a step above what's normal, mm-hmm. what would be normal.
But she's not wearing headphones.
And she doesn't wear the headphones nearly
and
as much
doesn't,
or at
and
all.
Is she okay around, you know, Well, the kinds of things that produce sound, like doing the laundry and cooking.
Here's an example. She was having trouble being out in public. Uh-huh. And so we did a hypnotherapy process where we made it okay for her to be out in public. She wound up being able to go out in public, and where she went was Walmart, one of the loudest places you could ever imagine going. And she did extremely well there. She came back to the next appointment and was so excited that she was able to do that and remain focused and not allow that to just drive her up the wall. And it was amazing to look at her and listen to her recount that story.
And she isn't working. She isn't back to working yet, right? Is that I understand?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, what we want to do is we want to have sort of a concluding session here about vaccine injury, because vaccine injury is a very peculiar kind of problem, because we've talked about Stacy as a vaccine injured person. Can we be 100% certain that she is vaccine injured? Robert, what do you think?
It's hard to say. From my point of view, from a Western point of view, you could treat it as such. The three of us together, with our modalities and the services that we offered pertaining with Stacy, and she had actually improved. I think that in itself is a testimonial in itself.
Yes, I'd like to say that when the day she first came in with her parents, after the session I did with her, I talked to her parents and I said, look, I am not a medical doctor and I can't diagnose anything, but what it's looking like, and you may want to research this yourselves, is a reaction to a vaccine. So they went and did a lot of research on the internet and found that their daughter's symptoms matched exactly with so many other young women around the country who are experiencing these symptoms. And at this point, to me, a diagnosis is really quite irrelevant. It is that she is so much better with the approach that we have all taken.
Now, the reason why I brought up the vaccine injury diagnosis problems is because vaccine injury doesn't get treated very often. The conventional viewpoint is, in many respects, that if somebody has bad symptoms after getting a vaccine, well, the vaccine didn't cause it, and which presents problems with that same doctor turning around and saying, you know, that those symptoms that I said weren't tied to the vaccine, well, I'd now like to treat you for vaccine injury. So that's a little impediment to treating vaccine injury. Doesn't happen all the time. Some doctors acknowledge vaccine injury much more easily than others. But it's hard to pin down. It's impossible to, with 100% certainty, diagnose. And even though everybody agrees that vaccine injury does occur, when it comes time to identify a particular patient and say, this is vaccine injury, we need to treat it as vaccine injury, most people run for the corners of the room and get out of the way. Now, Robert, you're sort of the lead person in this particular clinic, which is, Integrative Holistic Healing Center, okay? And you're in Santa Fe. Now, you've treated vaccine injury, certainly in Stacy and maybe in some other people. Do you know of anybody, any other clinic, any other physician in Santa Fe that treats vaccine injury, that puts themselves forward to the public and saying, I treat vaccine injury?
No.
Well, how about anybody in New Mexico?
No.
How about anybody in the United States?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so in some respects, if we, if at Integrative Holistic Healing Center, you know, if we say, okay, we have a pretty good idea how to treat vaccine injury, that makes us a little unusual, okay, and a little maybe emotionally, mentally aggressive on this front, would you say?
I would say that.
I would think definitely that would be true. Now, and the other thing is, most vaccine injuries, when I read, and I've read a lot about vaccine injuries, is you tend to look at them as, oh, this anywhere from something that's moderate problem, you know, to a horrible problem, to death, right? But it's the horrible problems that don't go to death that are most concerning, because that's something where, for the most part, people are described as being lifelong vaccine injured. And is that what you've mostly read about? And that's what yes. I've seen. Is there's no idea in even the, you know, the conventional wisdom that a person who's severely vaccine injured can be treated for that problem and can recover. And go ahead, Rick. Say it.
I like the "and can recover."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what our message here is. Is that vaccine injury is real. It's a lot more common than most people believe. It can be very severe, but it can be treated. People can recover from vaccine injury. They can recover back to maybe not 100%, maybe 98%, maybe 99%, occasionally 100% recovery. And I hope that's the feeling that people, you know, that they people take away from this show. Any final comment, Robert or Rick or Mahaba?
Well, for those that feel that you may have been vaccine injured and or have some questions, you can please feel free to give us a call at area code 505-424-9527. And we would work together in an integrative approach, and it wouldn't just be me or Rick or Mahaba. It would be the combination and an integrative approach.
The show. Thank you. This is Daniel Cobb, Dr. of Oriental Medicine.
Of Santa Fe is KVSF FM 101.5 Pecos Santa Fe, streaming on santafe.com.